Good afternoon to all of you. On behalf of Cynthia, her children and grandchildren, thank you for coming to this memorial service for Casey Admiral. The family invites you to join them in the basement after this service for refreshments. You'll have the opportunity to offer your condolences. There will be no formal receiving line. The family would encourage you to mingle around and find them as you have opportunity to do so. We gather here in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? On Thursday, June the 22nd, 2017, Casey Admiral took his last breath. He was 77 years old. Even though he is dead, yet he lives because he believed in Jesus. Yet knowing this does not take away your pain. Especially because his death was sudden and unexpected, and there was no time for goodbyes. Now, this is hard for you as a family. It's hard for the other family here. Think also of his last remaining sibling, Nick. And together with you all, we mourn his death, and we learn to cry out with David in Psalm 42, O my soul, why are you grieving? Why disquieted in me? At the same time, we cry out to that same soul, hope in God, your faith retrieving. So today, in this service, hope meets the grief of our souls. For the family, that happened already once this day, as they gathered at the cemetery, as they surrounded for a last time the body of their loved one and laid him to ground in the ground to rest until the resurrection. Grief is there in our souls, and hope is there in our souls through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's sing together from the 42nd Psalm this morning, or this afternoon as you find it in your program. Because we do indeed believe that God will show His help and favor, let's come to Him now in prayer. O God, who formed us, brought us to birth, You have taught us to trust in You. You have taught us to pray to You. You have taught us that You are always ready to hear when we pray. As we come to You in prayer this afternoon, we do so with mixed emotions. There is grief on account of death, and it is real and tangible. There is hope on account of Jesus, and it is real and tangible. And there is thanksgiving because we remember Casey with great affection. We thank You for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and how it worked out in the various aspects of his life. We thank You for his loyalty and devotion to his loved ones, especially to Cynthia, the children and grandchildren. We thank You for the gifts and the talents You gave him, whether it was his baking, his music, his sailing, his thoughtfulness, his ability to encourage. We thank You for the years of memories of Him and with Him. We thank You that You have taken Him up into heavenly glory. At the same time, we already feel His absence. We miss Him, our husband, our dad, our opa, our brother, brother-in-law, a beloved family member, a friend, and a brother in the Church of Christ. We mourn him. Your word tells us that those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. Comfort all who have gathered here for this memorial service. Encourage and strengthen us today and in the days ahead by the power of Your Holy Spirit. We know that Your Spirit has promised to do this through His word. And so we now pray. Receive our thanks, our songs of praise. Bless the reading of Your word. Come alongside of us in our sorrow and speak to us. And grant us Your grace so that we can hear You as You speak. For You speak for our comfort, our hope, and our strength. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn to your program as we respond with the song, "There is a Redeemer." You see in your program the selected scripture reading for this memorial service, Romans 11. Start towards the end of that chapter, the 33rd verse, and then read through to chapter 12, verse 8. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of our God, and may He bless it in our hearing this afternoon. Dear Cynthia, Rich and Nicole, Sylvia and Roger, Marg and Troy, Andy, Megan, Colin, dear grandchildren here this afternoon, dear brother Nick and wife Emmy, to all the other family members, friends who have gathered here, it was a midnight cup of tea. Not unusual for Casey, apparently, when he was having some trouble sleeping. And as he sat at that table, he peacefully came to the end of his days. And now you are bereft. He knew that moment would come at some point. You say, don't we all? Yes, at least we ought to. But given the health problems he lived with, particularly that aneurysm, he knew that moment would probably come sooner rather than later. And so he would say very often, my life is in God's hand. And the beauty of that statement is that it is true both in life and in death. For Casey had received new life in Jesus Christ. And that's a life that never ends. And you are comforted to know that his dead body, which you laid to rest this morning, will rise from that very place where you left it. And nonetheless, the empty spot is all too obvious. Your gentleman husband, who opened doors for you and brought you flowers, is gone. Your suntanned father, who baked and cooked and sailed with you, is gone. Your fun-loving Opa will no longer show up with Nana. He will not sit behind the organ anymore or squeeze that accordion. Nick, I understand your competition is gone. And you might be thinking you won. And he's probably thinking he won. And so the truth is you both won. You lasted the longest. He got to heaven first. To remember Brother Casey is to remember a man with character, a man with personality, a man with various gifts and talents. As I sat with Cynthia and some of the children last Friday, Cynthia, you handed me a devotional, and you'd underlined Romans 12, 6 through 8, and that's why they're in bold in the program this afternoon. And you did that because as you reflected on Casey as a husband and as a father, one of the things that stood out so strongly for the family was that God had given Casey the gift of being an encourager. And so you see highlighted at the bottom of your program there, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. I want to step back with you for a few moments, look at the bigger picture here in Romans chapter 12. Then I want to look at verse 8 and remember Casey, and then I want to look forward with you to life without Casey. First, we're going to step back for just a few moments. The bigger picture here in Romans 12 is that the Apostle Paul is urging all Christians to offer their whole lives to God as an act of worship. And this urging requires constant transformation of the mind, so as to leave behind any action that is sinful and to pursue every action that is holy and pleasing to God in accordance with His will. And one particular area where the Apostle Paul calls for this transformation of the Christian mind is in the area of how we think about ourselves. Not just in general, but also then especially as Christians. Paul instructs Christians in Romans 12 not to think of themselves more highly than they ought, but to think of themselves with sober judgment, as we read. What Paul is addressing is the temptation to compare ourselves to each other as Christians, and to come away from that comparison with an inflated sense of self. I suspect you know what Paul is talking about. You look at someone else in the church and you think, I'm more important than that person. You compare what you do with what they do, and you go, I'm more important than that person. You think you live a better Christian life, and therefore you're a better Christian than that person. You don't even have to be a Christian this afternoon to understand this kind of thinking, because you see, this kind of thinking is all too common to all people, Christian and non-Christian alike. There is the natural inclination of every human heart to compare ourselves to someone else in order that we might come away thinking highly of ourselves. The point of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12 is that this is not how Christians are to think or to act. Christians are not to compare themselves with others and come away from that experience thinking highly of themselves. And it doesn't matter if we are comparing ourselves with other Christians or if we're comparing ourselves with non-Christians. And it doesn't matter, because the fact that someone is a Christian, and the fact that as Christians we do have certain gifts and abilities that differ from one another, is not a result of who we are. It's not a result of anything we have done or achieved. But it is because of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Christian is not the result of being better than someone who's not a Christian. To be a Christian is the result of God's grace leading you to faith in Jesus Christ. But there's more. Beginning the journey of the Christian life is a matter of grace. But continuing the journey of the Christian life is also a matter of grace. And those gifts and those talents that you have, that you might be tempted to compare with someone else's, well, they're not actually your own. Well, Paul writes this way, we have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. So if God has given you a gift, it's not to compare yourself with anyone else. It's not so that you can pump your own tires, as they say. He gives you a gift to use it for the benefit of other people. And that brings me to verse 8. And to our remembering a man named Casey Admiral. Your loved one understood first and foremost that he was a Christian only because of the grace of God. He understood he was a sinner just like everyone else here. He was no different fundamentally than any other human being. But he knew Christ by grace. And so he sought to offer his life to God as an act of worship, holy and pleasing to him. On this point, he was a work in progress. I'd love to tell you that God took him home because he'd done such a really good job up to this point. But the fact is, each day, including his last day, his mind continually needed to be transformed so that his actions came from a place of humility rather than a place of pride. But he knew his responsibility to live for God by using whatever gifts and whatever talents God had given him. And among those gifts, the family has wanted to highlight this afternoon the gift of encouragement. I think it's good to pause here and ask ourselves, what does the Apostle Paul mean when he writes, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement? What is this encouragement? I think we all have some general idea of what it means to be encouraging, what encouragement actually is. But I want you to know that the apostle has something quite specific in mind. That when he, throughout his writings, talks about this gift of encouragement, well, what he means is the giving of a word of encouragement that is grounded in the truths, the rich truths of the Bible. And it's in that light that we can remember Casey and his gift of encouragement. He encouraged people to believe in Jesus. He encouraged other Christians. He encouraged us all to sing a song of joy. Went so far as to make a CD. That was a gift of encouragement, wasn't it? His family remembered him the other day as someone who encouraged people to forgive as Jesus forgives. The remark was made by someone in the family that there was something fitting about him dying at the age of 77. And that's because Jesus told us as Christians to forgive 70 times 7. Your dad, your husband, was a man who modeled and pursued forgiveness. And along that same line, he encouraged people to be reconciled to each other. This is some of what his encouragement looked like. And as you trace that, you will discover that it all is grounded in the truths of God's word that he held dear to his heart. And so we remember this day, that gift of encouragement that he had, not to build him up in our minds to some super Christian. He was not. But to give thanks to God for his grace in Casey's life. That God was pleased to use this man, weak with his own sins and shortcomings, for the benefit of other people, in his family, in his church, in his community. This is what God does. He takes people, unique as each one is that he has created, and he says, I'm going to use you. And that's where I want you as family to start looking forward. I said at the beginning, you are bereft. The fact of the matter is, Casey's been taken from you. And he's been taken from God's family as well, from the body of Christ. And as significant as that loss is, And as much as you do grieve, and you will continue to grieve that loss, I want you to remember this afternoon that you are not bereft of encouragement. You are bereft of the man who had the gift of encouragement, but you have not lost encouragement. Part of the reason you invited me here this afternoon was to remind you of this fact at this day, at this moment, so as to encourage you with the rich truths of God's Word. It's part of the reason God has given each of you a place in His church, in His family, so that you can be comforted also this day and in days ahead by the encouragement of others. You can be so thankful that the gift of encouragement did not stop with your loved one. Then indeed your sorrow would be beyond all comfort. But because this encouragement, of which I am speaking this afternoon from out of God's Word, finds its actual source in God and in His Word, you will always have encouragement, even though you no longer have Casey. I think of what Paul writes just a few chapters later in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He says it's the Scriptures that provide encouragement, that we might have hope. So, Cynthia, I want to leave you a word of encouragement from the Scriptures this afternoon. It's Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You will not walk alone. Find hope in this promise of His presence in your life. To the children, to the grandchildren, I encourage you with this word of Scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus Casey Admiral, who has fallen asleep with Him. And to all of you here this afternoon, I encourage you with this word from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are all who mourn, for they will be comforted. May God the Father so comfort you all and fill you with hope in Jesus Christ through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing in response to the Word of God, Amazing Grace. invite Richard to come forward for a family remembrance. Oh, and some other people too. Good.
Our opa was the best. He used to play the organ and sing with us lots. Our opa loved to sing Jesus Loves Me. He used to cook and barbecue for our family. Our opa loved his dogs. His favorite was Lucy and then Sparky. Opa took Sparky sailing in a doggy life jacket. Our opa is a real sailor. He even has a captain hat. We used to get chocolate milk when opa did groceries.
When we were babies, we never cried when we sat on opa's lap. Our opa used to say, "Heep heep hooray," when we sang happy birthday. We learned Dutch words and songs from our opa. Opa told us that he came to Canada with only $20. Our opa's on YouTube. We were always called opa's boy or opa's girl. Opa loved our Nana. He bought her flowers all the time. Our opa went to heaven last Thursday. Now he is with Jesus. We will miss our opa.
Our family would like to thank all of you so much for being here today, and all those joining in on live feed. We've been overwhelmed with the communion of the saints. Our family house is full of flowers, cards, social media overflowing. Our dad would have liked all the Facebook likes for sure. The well wishes. We have and are cherishing your kind and comforting words, and we've been encouraged and uplifted by your prayers. So thank you very much. Our dad had many friends, long-standing friends. He loved his friends, and his friends loved him back. And I've seen my dad mourn the loss of a friend. He mourned that loss of, like he lost his own brother. And he would mourn loudly and in anguish. And then he was done. He was the second youngest of a very large family, and he himself attended many funerals. And he mourned his loved ones, and he knew sadness too. But we remember our dad, your brother, your uncle, your friend, Casey Admiral, as a man full of joy. And our mom wrote the obituary you find in the program, and the sons and the daughters contributed paragraphs to be included in this eulogy. And on the cover is a picture of our dad's hands. And his hands were, he had gifted hands that played music and decorated cakes and gave encouraging pats on the back. Truly a gift from God, the music he played, it pointed to his heavenly Father. And it affected, his music affected people in a truly positive way. We recalled late night once around a campfire, complete strangers would come with wine, with food, with whatever gifts they could find handy, an entire load of firewood, because they wanted to give back. They had heard him playing at the campsite, and he had touched them. His son-in-law, Roger, said it so well. Our dad could play Psalm 150 100 different ways. He didn't know anyone who could play without a single sheet of music in front of him like that. In a few minutes, we're going to sing this song together, and Roger will play his trumpet, and we're going to sing Hallelujah at a funeral. He grew up in a Buckeye and was a loyal son. He took his European skills to the Fraser Valley. He baked like he played music without a recipe, no timer needed. He had a bake shop set up beside a brand new superstore and fought the mall owner because he wouldn't open on Sundays. Decades later now, we want a baker like that, and we're never going to get that special blend of mocha icing again. Our daddy decorated hundreds, thousands of cakes, and he'd write congratulations, and he'd write happy birthday. He'd write joy into those cakes, and his hand had a beautiful writing style. I remember as a boy, a warm summer morning like this one, it'd be 3 a.m., we'd get into his big old Dodge van, and we were headed to the bake shop for work. He was a hard-working provider, Dad, and I was along for the ride, hoping to make $10 for the day, I think. He'd start up the van, and vroom, with a thunderous roar, and the whole neighborhood would be woken up. And then he'd turn around the corner and bellow the van into a whole another gear, louder still. And the neighbors didn't even seem to really mind. And they had a couple more hours of sleep. And they liked my dad. They were his friends. And he's still got good friends from that neighborhood to this day. And they're watching on live feed today. At that big shop, too, he had some employees. They didn't like each other much at first. But with some encouragement, well, they've been married 30 years now. Amazing how we can reach out and touch one another and encourage one another. Our dad, he cherished his family, his kids. He loved his kids no matter what. He loved his wife and stayed true to his promises made 48 years ago. He was a romantic. From the start, he brought mom flowers pretty much every week. They both knew and appreciated what God had given to them and each other. He was a good and loving husband, and getting together with family was so important to them, and we have been a family that celebrates all things, birthdays. We're going to miss his hip hip hooray at our birthday parties. And he loved to cook and barbecue for others, and there was lots of room at our table for friends and out-of-town guests, and everyone was invited, and you could come back as many times as you wanted. The door was always open. The coffee pot was always on. And if he made a cake, he wanted you to take that cake home with you, too. And after those meals on Sundays, he'd read Psalm 92. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night to the music of the lute and the harp. For you, O Lord, I may be glad by the works at the works of your hands, I sing for joy. His life was an expression of thankfulness he wanted to share. He once told me about an accordion standoff he had. I don't know if it was just legend or apparently it was in New York Harbor, too. And that was before he came to Canada. A few years later, the Beatles came around and accordion players weren't so cool anymore. But they sure were good for Dutch weddings in the Fraser Valley. He played a lot of weddings, like a DJ with an accordion. He'd get a whole conga line going, 200 people strong in a line, singing good old Dutch songs. So much joy. A resilient encourager of others. That's how I saw our dad, your friend. And he didn't give up on people. He would encourage the downtrodden. They knew him. They liked him. And he didn't give up on people. Many of us would tell him to wait it out. Wait on reconciliation. It'll come in time. But he didn't want that. He wanted things right now. But he too had to learn to be patient. He left this place with no hard feelings, with important relationships restored. At peace with things. Our dad loved his church. He was dedicated to it and to his people here, and he did flourish. The rest of that Psalm 92, planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. Our dad loved to sail Harrison Lake. Sailing is an art, too, you know. You use your hands, your instincts, you feel the wind on your face. He loved to sail with his friends. Especially Tony, the last 4 or 5 years, with his strong arms, my dad could keep on sailing. He loves sailing with you, Tony. He was looking forward to the sailing season ahead. We thought, you know, let's get him into the summer. He loves summer so much, we'll get him strong. And then maybe he could think about that operation in the fall. Our dad had friends, and he loved his friends, and they loved him back. He made friends easily. He encouraged the downtrodden, the hurt, the people downtown knew him. Even more telling is how he enjoyed long-standing, decades-long friendships, and I see his friends here today. And we're so fortunate to have those long-standing relationships. And some of those long-standing friends he's reunited with now. Friends like Bill, and Klaus, and John, his brothers, his loved ones who went before him. Our dad had many friends. And what a friend he had in Jesus. We didn't get to say goodbye to him that night. He knew he had a condition, and when we look back now, he seemed maybe he was readying himself to leave this place. But our dad, he was not alone when he passed. The angels of the Lord, his Savior, came to take him by the hand. And somehow, some way, redeemed. He was a man of strong faith. And we know that he sailed off to heaven with his Lord, with his friend. Dad, we have loved you, and we love you still. And we cherish you, and we miss you. And we will see you again. Thank you.
Thank you to the granddaughters, and thank you to Richard for your remembrances this afternoon. Let's go once more to our God in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have heard our prayers. You have encouraged us with your word. In these past days, you have reminded us, and we've been reminded, that man is like a flower of the field, here for a moment, and then gone, and its place knows it no more. But your word stands forever, O God. Your word is eternal. And so we never lack for encouragement, for comfort, for hope. Father, we commit to your loving care, Cynthia, because you have promised never to leave her nor forsake her. Father, we commit to your loving care, her family. Surround with your love, Rich and Nicole, Sylvia and Roger, Marg and Troy, Andy and Megan, Colin and their families. Fill them, O God, with hope concerning the resurrection from the dead and the life everlasting. Wipe their tears as they fall day by day, even as they look forward to the day when their tears will be wiped away once and for all by your loving hand. Again, we thank you for the grace you showed to Casey throughout his life. And thank you that we could hear the family remembrances of a one named Casey whom they loved and who we loved. Bless us all as we go from here and help us to live out of that same grace to the glory of your name and for the benefit of our neighbor. We pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able, and we will sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord.